Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Are y'all enjoying the summertime? Summertime. You don't have to pick me up. I don't know where. I'm probably in Z flat. Summertime. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. Summertime. And so we're in the issue with God series. And so today I'm between two like topics, and one could be come off the bench. If you want to write it down, or just think about that, come off the bench. And you know what that looks like. If somebody's on the bench and, you know, coach is saying it's time for you to come off the bench. Or we're going to be talking about why are they colorblind? I'm not sure which one, if I be honest, which one is going to scream the loudest today, come off the bench, or why are they colorblind, all right? But I'll give you both of those and let you go home and study it and work through it. Amen? I am excited to always teach. It's an honor. It never gets old, because teachers, the Bible says, are held to a high standard. And if you get it wrong, there's some consequences. So this morning, I think, Jay, you're going to teach this morning, because I don't want that pressure. And I'm just kidding. It is pressure to teach and make sure you get it right. Amen. Because that's why am I saying this? Because this has everything to do with what I'm talking about today, because we are here because of teachers. We are here because somebody taught us our A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If we didn't know our ABCs, I couldn't communicate with you guys. I couldn't say, God bless you. I couldn't say, I love you this morning. I couldn't communicate. I couldn't say, what's up? I couldn't say, you look good in Jesus. If somebody didn't do what? Teach me my ABCs. This world is changing, and it's changing quick. But the curse of change. Everybody say the curse of change. We are changing. I am changing. You're tired of hearing about it, but it's okay, because after September, you won't hear about it. I'll be 40 this year. I am changing. Oh, but the curse of change. The curse of change is a world, perhaps a world with no foundation. A world with no foundation. Why? Because change, a lot of times, change is wrapped around subjectivity. So it's an ever-changing truth based on feelings. So things change based on how I feel. All right? I went to see my mom last night, my mom and my dad. And my mom, I said, Mom, you want something to eat? And I said, I'll be right back. She said, you gonna take me with you? We rode around. We felt like church's chicken. And we got out of that line. Then we felt like this, and we rode. It's just your feelings can just lead you here and there. Your feelings change. Your opinions change. Amen. But we landed on pizza, if you were wondering. We landed on pizza. Mama said, my mama's so grateful. She said, it's just a blessing to have a son to just to take you around to get you some pizza. But mama, we took an hour because our feelings change. I mean, it's so subject, you know. Subjectivity is interesting because it's based on individuals. It's based on each, like, imagine all of us getting together and saying, where are we going to eat after church? I don't eat meat. I mean, I eat meat, but somebody may say, I don't eat meat. I only eat home-cooked food. I don't eat everybody else's cooking. I like meat with non-GMO. So subjectivity can cause chaos. Amen. And that's what we see in the world today. Have you ever thought that everyone, just want to throw this out there, have you ever thought that everybody is conservative? I know people, you have, I think it's liberals and conservatives, but have you ever thought that everybody's conservative? Because everybody's trying to conserve something. Everybody is trying to preserve and protect something. Everybody is conservative. You're saying, I wake up at 5 o'clock every day and no devil in hell is going to get in my way. You're trying to conserve that. You use a certain toothpaste. Amen. And so if I go to Dollar General for you and I get you the wrong toothpaste, you're going to let it sit there until you get the right toothpaste, because you are used to something. You want it your way. You got your taste. You got your like. Amen. Am I right about it? I don't make up the bed. You make up the bed. You like Lipton tea. Others like, what's the other brand? Lipton. Suzanne. What sugar you like? Dixie Crystal or Splenda? Splenda. See what I'm saying? Everybody's trying to conserve something. I mean, we would drive a great distance to make sure our lifestyle is aligned with our taste, if that makes sense. So have you ever thought that everybody is conservative? So I want to jump here. I'm anointed dangers and discipline this morning. Stands for ADD. The next generation is growing up in an ever-changing world. I just talked about change. This next generation is growing up in a world is always changing. But they are growing up in a world where anything goes. Anything is accepted. Anything goes, and anything is accepted because of subjectivity, because of opinions, because of likes, because of taste, because of preference. Amen? Because of preference. And so perhaps this generation is colorblind. That's why I submitted to you guys a title, colorblind. Everybody say colorblind. What color is my hair? What color is my hair? I got a little gray in there. I feel so wise. I look at that thing, I say, look at you, sir. You got 17 gray hairs between your beard and your hair. How do you know my hair is black? It's because of a teacher. Somebody taught you. My nephew was at the house this week, and his mom, who's expecting again, she says, Carter, what color is this? It's red. Blue? No. Carter, what color is this? Green. No, it's yellow. She is teaching him at a young age, red, yellow, green, red and yellow, black and white. I don't know why that song just came in my head. ADD this morning. But guys, why do you know that my hair is black? Because somebody taught you. Perhaps this generation is colorblind. What if I was never taught the difference between red and green? What if I was never taught the difference between red and green? What would happen to you? What would happen to this world? What if I drive up to a green light and say, no, that is a red light? Because that's what I feel. What if I drive up to a green light and say that's a red light, or a red light and say that's a green light, because of my taste, because of what I feel, because of my opinion? What would happen? There would be chaos. There would be wrecks. We actually do the next generation a disservice when we don't teach them the difference between red and green. We actually are setting them up to fail because we don't teach them the things of God. Guys, y'all know, y'all have never seen me with this. This is, oh, I ain't gonna cry. Do it for the vine. I ain't gonna cry. Do it for the vine. This is my Bible that my parents gave me when I was a little kid. If you're watching it on the stream, I'll let you see a close-up of it. Look at this thing. It's over 30 years old. I think you need to give God a hand clap of praise if your parents introduce you to this. They taught you the difference between red and green when they introduce you to this. No matter what the world say, even if they say this is false. All right, I'm off my script, but even if the world say this is false, what are you going to say? What my parents introduced me to, which at 40, almost 40, I am more convinced now than ever this is right. This is true, but I read a statistic that almost 75%, if not more, of Christians no longer believe that this is right. How are you going to be a Christian and no longer believe that this is right? How they call it progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity. What are we progressing? Progressing. What are we progressing from? How are you going to separate yourself from this and call yourself a Christian? Amen. They call it, yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe this is true. Yes, my Bible is torn to pieces, but don't let that distract you. This is a good analogy. Yes, it's torn to pieces. It looks a certain way. But don't let that lure you away from the faith. Amen? This next generation is colorblind. In a day like today, not knowing right from wrong, or not having convictions about red and green. Y'all see the metaphor and the analogy here, right? This next generation, I think, not I know, but I think I'm bisexual. They are transparent in saying, man, I'm having these mind battles. I am hearing voices in my head. This next generation, loaded with porn addictions. On Monday, they feel like a male. On Sunday, they feel like a female. Double-mindedness. This next generation is colorblind. They are lacking this. They are lacking a standard. Amen. That lacking a standard would make you colorblind. Mama, why you didn't teach me red? Mama, why you didn't teach me green? I'm in a wreck. I am wrecking every single day. Mama, you should have taught me red. Well, you didn't want to listen to, you didn't want to learn your colors. So I just let you just learn it on your own. But mama, I'm in a wreck because now when I go to a red light, I go. When God says go, I stop. When God says stop, I go. Mama, you should have taught me the difference between red and green. But I wanted to be your friend. I didn't want you to be mad at your uncle, so I didn't say anything. But mama, I thought I was bisexual, but actually I was only 7. I shouldn't know anything about sex. Or being gay. I'm only 7. I shouldn't even be thinking about sex at 6 and 7. So I don't know if I'm gay or straight at 6 or 7. Because I'm only 6. Amen. I should just maybe BB guns-ish. Going outside playing with the when I was 6 or 7, we used to get those. You seen, you know, the bugs that light up, what they're called? Lightning bugs. Yes, duh, sir. We used to take the June bugs. I think they're called June bugs. And we used to tie this string, this yarn on the June bugs and then let them fly away and treat them like a kite. That's what a 6 and 7-year-old boy should be doing. Amen? Things are changing. I've already established that. But the generation is colorblind, double-mindedness. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. even if we accept a certain lifestyle, but man, it's something to take note that one day you are this and another day you're this. Even if everybody's okay with it, does anybody not see anything wrong with the ever-changing personalities? Amen? The ever-changing wardrobe. Make sense? If I dress like a clown today and then tomorrow I dress like a, what's a good example? Give me something. I dress like a clown and then tomorrow I don't dress like a clown. I'll just say that. You're going to say, sir, you got a lot going on in your what? James 1:8 says, a double-minded, that has nothing to do with the exterior, because your thoughts control your actions. Your thoughts control your face. Amen? Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the exterior is a result of the interior. What's going on in the mind? So no, we're not judging or condemning that community, the LGBT community. We are now I am wanting you to teach me, because I want to know what's going on in your mind. I want to know what's going on in your head. There's this modern day, of course, you may have heard of the Enlightenment period, where things basically change. There was a revelation, enlightenment. Enlighten me. Teach me more. Amen. Teach me more. But this modern day enlightenment is missing something. Enlightenment. Everybody say that three times. Enlightenment. Enlightenment. Stop in the middle. Enlight. It is missing the light. How are you going to be enlightened without the light? How are you going to? I have a new revelation. Well, who gave you the revelation? I have a new thought. Who gave you the thought? I have a new conviction. Well, who gave you the conviction? What's the source? Amen. There's this new philosophy that we need to jump on. Where who's the root of the philosophy? Amen. Because rat poison, most of rat poison is healthy. But that, you're looking at me like, for real? But it's that 3%. That was a good meme there. Where my phone? I'm going to take it. 3% of rat poison is what will kill you. So there's a lot of truth to what you're hearing, but it's that 3% that is inside of what you're hearing that will lure you away and really cause death and will equal heresy. Amen? So enlightenment is missing. Modern day enlightenment is missing the light. It's missing the light. Everybody say, it's missing something. It's missing the light. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light. First of all, Jesus saying this at this time is getting him in some hot water. Jesus saying, I'm the light. When Jesus said back in the Bible days, when Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man gets to God except through me. Do you not know they wanted to get their AK-47 and their AR and shoot Jesus on the spot? Do you not know we may have to say some things or preserve some things that will make the opposing view get their AK-47 and shoot you on the spot in the spirit or on social media? If Jesus can go through it, we can go through it. Amen. Jesus said, a multiplicity of things that got him in hot water. It got him killed. And we want to be like Christ. Amen. Yes, Jesus is responsible for all you can eat fish. But he is also responsible for the truth. Amen. Amen. Eat your fish. Amen. Drink your wine. But tell the truth. Amen. There's a balance. Eat your fish, drink your wine, but tell the truth. All right? When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. Everybody say follow. When you see the word follow, it's translated disciple. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light. The light. I'm sorry. That's a good slip. the light of life. Whoever follows me, everybody say follow. That word is translated disciple. It comes from a word that means to join. Whoever joins Christ, he is a disciple. What does a disciple mean? A disciple is not one-sided. It's not all up to Christ to teach us, and we sit there and like a sponge and soak it in. God, Jesus, you talking good to me. You preach, Jesus. Yes, say it. Yes, Jesus, I feel good. I feel good. It's two-sided. In other words, we have to do our part. Disciple is one, if you want to write it down, one who accepts and assists, one, or if you want to screenshot it, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, such as Christianity. So yes, I am saved. I am a disciple of Christ, but you have now accepted assisting in spreading something, spreading the doctrines of another, of Christ. If you are Christ's disciple, you are now responsible for not just sitting and enjoying the world and the fruits of your labor, amen, and not just going on vacations, going to the Clemson game. Somebody give me some tickets this year. I know it's going to be packed. You're responsible for not just enjoying life, but spreading a certain message, teaching to the young and old that red is red and green is green. Amen. Get your bulletproof vest while you're doing it in this good old ever-changing world. Amen. In the U.S., we are the majority, but there's this narrative, there's this diabolical plot to change the narrative. Christianity is slowly picking up pace. I know that's an oxymoron. Slowly picking up pace where it's now becoming, we're conflicted. Christians are battling with other Christians. Amen. Over the Bible being true. Amen. So really, it's salvage mode right now. Things are really going to get worse. And so the good thing about House of Judah, good thing about us, many of us, we are firm in our faith, but it should be 2, 4, 6. So it should be doubled in our circle of influence. Are we affecting and infecting our circle? Or is our circle affecting us or infecting us? Are we affecting our circle, or is our circle affecting us? Amen. They need to know. Perhaps they have forgotten what red means and what green means, because we do forget. I had to repent this week. I told Lex, I said, baby, I said, Medushi, I said, sweets, I said, Danny, that's the same person. All right, polygamy doesn't live in this house. I said, baby, I had to repent. I was on a conversation with an organization, the head of an organization, and I changed my talk a little bit to not sound so Christian-y. I said, man, God, I said, I got convicted quick. I said, in the next breath, I corrected what I didn't say. Amen. What was in me, the teacher, that wanted to edit my conversation to appear a certain way so I wouldn't offend, or so I would potentially be accepted? I denied and undenied Christ in less than 2 seconds. Ain't that something? So many are leaving the faith, denouncing the faith, throwing shade at Christianity. Why? Because we have unanswered questions. Issue with God. This is the series, Issues with God. Because we have unanswered questions, or we've came to the faith under false pretense. Leaving the faith after 40 years is like a couple being married for 40 years and deciding to leave each other for unreconcilable differences. Come on, you lasted 40 years. Give God another chance. Study his word. After 40 years, there's a song that says, it is cheaper to keep her. I think it's cheaper to keep her, right? All right. Faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. Amen. Sadness comes by hearing. You've heard me say this. Fear comes by hearing. Frustration comes by hearing. Doubt comes by hearing. Because I'm a 40-year veteran Christian, why am I doubting this right now? Because I am not hearing this. I'm hearing something else more than I'm hearing this. I am hearing the Atlanta Housewives more than I'm hearing this. I am hearing CNN more. I am hearing this. I am hearing some other religions more than I am hearing this. I am hearing, do you guys know there's a religion, I don't know if I have it on my notes here, if you give me 2 seconds. There's a religion called Druze. Everybody say Druze. And it's basically a mixture of Christianity, a mixture of Islam, the Islamic faith, and it's a mixture of some other philosophies. And they're mixing it together. I think it's spelled D-R-R-A from Fafars. Is on a, thank you. Thank you, baby. D-R-U-Z-E. I don't know how I missed that. So it's mixing. So you're hearing the truth, then you're hearing other things, and there's no way that the truth can be in the same, I guess, coexist with my truth. There's no way that the truth can coexist with my truth. Amen. There's no way that other philosophies can trump the truth. Amen. But it's so appealing because, remember, I started with the world is changing. And I talked about subjectivity. I talked about taste. I talked about like. I talked about what I want. I talked about the temperature I want it at. I talked about basically, I didn't say it, but it's basically my flesh. My flesh wants it. Amen. Should I give in to it? Christianity is not popular because it's becoming more unpopular because of 2 words. Self-denial. One thing about being almost 40 is you keep saying, I'm almost 40. I ain't doing that. Those of you that are 50 young, you say, I'm 50. I ain't doing that. Those that you are 60 young, I know nobody here is yes, because you look good if you are. I'm telling you right now, you're gorgeous, all right? But I'm not going above that. Amen? You want it your way. Your taste. You have been here a long time, and it's hard to change. This flesh thing is interesting. So sadness ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. Frustration, fear, doubt. You're hearing something that is causing you to doubt. Nothing has changed from Genesis to 2021. Nothing has changed from Genesis. I'm almost finished. To 2021. Nothing has changed from Genesis to 2021. Nothing has changed. Genesis 3, if you want to turn there, says, I can actually use the real Bible right here, the paper Bible, in Genesis 3 because it's at the beginning. Oh, Alpheus marked in this Bible with a blue marker. And look at this handwriting when I was a kid. Good God Almighty. If you want to sit after church, just pay me $3 and we can go in the back and it could be like a Alpheus Children's Bible Museum showing. This will have you cracking up. Ooh, thank you, Dwayne Anderson and Alty Anderson, for giving me this. Thank you for Josephine Jeter for teaching me Psalm 1. You promised me a big fat Kit Kat for memorizing Psalm 1, which is blessed is the man that says no, and that is meditating on the word of God. Amen? So I am happy today. I am blessed today because of what I've said no to. Thank you, Josephine Jeter. Genesis 3, nothing has changed from Genesis 3 to 2021. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. Y'all read with me just to keep me company. Ready? One more time. Let's start over. Genesis 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, who said to the woman? The serpent, the enemy, the devil. They said, social media, They said, did God really, join me, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Nothing has changed from Genesis to 2021. That's pretty much the tactic. Did God really say it? Doubt, doubt. Did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say marriage is between a man and a woman? Did God really say honor your mother and your father? Did God really say he would send his, he would come to earth and rescue us through his son? Did God really say? Did God really say? Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So Eve basically quoted the truth. Eve knew, she knew the color red. She knew red, but she did what? She heard something that threw her off, that distracted her, that got her off of her game. She actually mused on what the enemy said. She meditate. Meditate comes from a word that means to rotate. Everybody do this. Plus it'll wake us up. This is what meditate. Psalm 1 says meditate on God's law day and night. It comes from a word that means to rotate or to spin. Eve started spinning something in her head. And what was she spinning? Did God really say? That's why Psalm 1 says meditate on what? God's law day and night. Man, we can 40-year Christian, and we sitting up here saying, yes, I'm married, but I don't see anything wrong with Pride Month. It's okay. They ain't hurting me. Amen. Yes, I love everybody. I love everybody. And now we're starting to say, we slip up and say, I love everybody and I love their sin. Oh, I didn't mean that. We used to say, love the person, hate the sin. But you can see how did God really say can turn to something else. It's almost like a gate. Did God really say it's like a gateway drug to rejecting God? Did God really say it's like a gateway drug to rejecting God? Well, it's okay. I mean, it's okay. Get a divorce. Keep getting divorces. Marry somebody else. If you want to be 6 foot male today, Alpheus, you can be. But if you want to, I'm going to say this. If you want to be a 7 foot Chinese white woman tomorrow, you can, because you're living in what? Your truth. So am I wrong? I just want to see what you guys would say. Am I wrong for tomorrow? I'm deciding to be a 7 foot Chinese white woman who is 390 pounds. And is that wrong? Thumbs up if that's wrong. If you would be bold enough to say, sir, that's wrong. Yep. I understand. If you're saying, some say that's what you, if that's what you want, it's not hurting me, then go ahead and be you. I wrote a song that needs clarity, I think. It's called Be You and I'll Be Me. Walk confident, God's with you. Be you, that song means be you in Christ. Amen. You got to be clear these days. A t-shirt we got coming out, I don't know when it's coming. It's called Exclusively Jesus. I'm not pro-Jesus. I'm exclusively Jesus. Amen. Because you could be pro-Jesus and pro-Buddha, and now you find yourself a part of Druze. Amen. Did God really say? So I want to wrap this up, not because time is getting away from me and it's late in the hour, but because I promised a hard stop when I feel like the message is clear and that there's a spirit of, sir, I think I know exactly what I need to do. And I feel like that is evident in this room. But this falling away, leaving the faith, walking away from God, doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. Amen? Life happens, and it knocks us off. Amen? Death happens. Culture can reveal the foundation of your faith. Man, this culture thing is addictive. It is so influential. And YouTube, that's why they are called what? Influencers. People are making a living influencing other people. That is very interesting. What are you influencing people with? What message are you trying to get across? And what is the standard? What's the foundation of your message? Everybody say, what's the foundation? Matthew 7 says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Matthew chapter 7, I wait on you, Mama Veda, my paper Bible hero, Matthew chapter 7, it's the first gospel, Matthew chapter 7, this feels so weird for me to be turning and not clicking. Yes, things are changing. Everybody say different methodology. Same message. Everybody say different method. Same message. Matthew chapter 7 says, everyone, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. I gave up on the paper Bible. I look on my iPad. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And then the rain fell. The laws came. The month came. The policies came at work. The phone calls and the emails start coming in. And the floods came. And the winds blew. And the people were loud. The people were actually louder than the truth and beat on that house. The news came. The guns came blazing. The accusations came. The friends started leaving. The family members started to uninvite you. All because of the your foundation is built on. You have integrity. You have character. In other words, this M in Matthew will be a M forevermore. It's has integrity. It is a character. It is not going to move. Amen. But there's consequences to having integrity. Amen. That's why I know that God's word is true, guys. Why would the disciples of Christ go through what they went through to conserve, to protect the things of God? Do you know how many of these guys died? Crucified upside down, put in some hot water, and boiled to death for trying to preach and preserve the gospel and the truth? This don't make people happy. Plus, Jesus said, I did not come. He said, I come to bring division. How do we deal with that? Do you think, somebody else said, I said it last week, tell the truth even when your lips quiver. You think you're going to be confident in the flesh every time you tell the truth? Absolutely not. When you look at somebody and say, people don't want to say you're wrong, sir. People don't want to say you're right. You're wrong. I don't know. I know why. I get it. And everyone, verse 26. I want to say this, all right, because this is to clear the air in the world. And y'all say it with me. Everybody say, I hate sin in you. And I hate sin in me. So that just kind of puts everybody on the same page. Amen. Yep. We're not picking on any person's sin. Amen. But if you guys know, according to God's word, it's not my standard. Say this with me. This is how we're going to end with some of these confessions and whatever else. I don't know what's going to be said. Everybody say, it's not my standard. It's not my opinion. It's God's standard. Amen. It is not my opinion. It's not my standard. Amen. And everyone who hears the truth, verse 26, who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be double-minded, will be like an evil man, a foolish, that's what foolish means, foolish man who built his house on sand. 27, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. It fell. Now unto him who is able to do what? Keep us from falling. How is he keeping us from falling? The truth. When you build your life on the truth, not philosophies, not opinions, not even your own opinion. Amen. If not, you will fall. If not physically, in the spirit, you will fall. I don't want to be eternally separated from God because of my thirst for something that displeases God. Anybody else want to be eternally separated from God? I know you don't. So I guess to wrap it up, come off the bench. Everybody say, come off the bench. That was one of the titles for today, and I'll be finished. Come off the bench. Let's get off this bench. Let's just get off the bench right now. Let's just get off the bench. Maybe somebody would get what I'm saying. Just get off the, get up. Somebody get off the bench. Yeah, I see two people. It's deciding to get off the bench. That's all I need, because where two or three are gathered in his name. Get off the bench. Social media, get off the bench. Us Christians, let's get off the bench and speak life to lies, to deceit. Sir, there is a red light, and if you go, you're going to be in a wreck, period. That's one approach, sir. That's a red light. And if you go past that red light, man, I love you. Not to tell you, if you go past that red light, man, you're gonna die. You're going to be in a wreck. Red. Man, you are intolerant. You are a bigot. So now, what do you say? This is what we will get, guys. You are a bigot. You are intolerant. So this is, I wouldn't get upset. I wouldn't try to defend yourself. I would say, listen, I would ask questions. Everybody say, ask questions. If they say you are a bigot or you are intolerant, ask questions. What's the questions you should ask? Can you define bigot? Can you define intolerant? If you define bigot as someone who simply disagrees with your beliefs, the moment you disagree with my beliefs, you become a bigot also. Sound like to me the accuser is the intolerant. I had to write that down to say it right. So you see how subjectivity and my truth is going to clash with somebody else, and it's going to clash with the truth. My truth is going to always clash with something, but it's ultimately going to clash with the truth. Man, I want to do a lot of stuff I shouldn't do, but I can do, but I shouldn't do. Because, God, thank you, sir. God has set this thing up where he says, if you don't go past this line, you will be safe and you will be saved. It is interesting to me in my community, in my neighborhood, I saw hundreds of people walk like this all over the road. If you've been in my house in here, you know, they're just walking everywhere. They're just walking and walking. And in one day, hundreds of people walking around the circle, trying to get exercise, doing a good thing, but really they're out of line. Amen. They're doing something good. They're exercising, but they're out of line. They're just walking like this. You're driving around trying to get home, and you want to blow, but you want to lay on that horn. Anybody in this room got a spirit of lay on the horn? I know there's at least one person here. Ah! Y'all know what I'm talking about. Get out the way, don't you? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go trying to get home and you in the road? Doing a good thing, but you're in my way. So their truth is, I am walking wherever I want to walk. My truth is, I'm trying to get home, and I'm using the road to get there. But you're in my way. This is my truth. This is your truth. In 24 hours, they put up something this big, and hundreds of people instantly starts to walk between these two lines without asking questions. It's amazing how we humans can follow two lines that was put up in 24 hours. And now we are walking what? A straight line. Because we have this conviction. We've been taught that if we walk out of the line, we can get hit by a car. And you think we're looking at that line and say, hey, I ain't going to obey you. I'm not going to follow you. We do not argue with a straight line. We do not argue with these lines that will keep us from dying. But we argue with this line. Well, it's wrong, and it's full of errors. It's wrong. This thing is wrong. My question to you, can you explain to me the errors? And guess what's probably going to happen? Most likely, you're going to get crickets because they've never read this. They've never proved this. All right? And then I'm going to stop right there. I think you get my point. This is a series, so we're just going to keep going. Amen. Are y'all enjoying this series? Is this information okay? And that's one of the main reasons that you're standing. The Bible says, do not forsake yourselves to assemble. This is one reason we assemble, that we drive to places like this and we assemble and we eat. And we discuss God's word in our families. Because, man, we need to be strong in the faith. It's rough out here. After 40 years, and you got more doubts than you do confidence in the word of God. Man, we need each other. Amen. Because you can say, Alpheus, sir, you're wrong. Amen. And that's probably a great feeling for God to use somebody to say, you're wrong. Amen. Alpheus, stop eating so much macaroni and cheese. I want to. So I'm ending light here because, in my opinion, what I sense, it is going to get more. It's going to get more like this. And maybe not in our lifetime, but our kids are going to, man, I think they're going to face it. And so we got to teach them not to be colorblind. Clap your hands for his word. Let's help them not be colorblind. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for your word. We started with it. We're ending with it. There's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Without you, Jesus, we are nothing. If you want to be saved and you're watching online, I want you to simply say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me to know the truth. I confess, I believe that you are the truth, that you are the one and true living God, that you were raised from the dead. Thank you for living inside of me. I will trust you. I will place no other God before you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.